Hey, this is Maggie.
And Ashley.
And you're listening to The Watering Hole, a place where animals and animal enthusiasts regularly drink. Every episode, we talk about different animals and why they're cool, from basic biology to the threats they face and what people are doing about it, all while under the influence.
Long pause. I was trying to see it. I was like, did Maggie make the text change to that text?
It's never that silent.
It's not. Sorry, that was on me. But I'll cut it all out so it seems like... Good to see you.
Just you sending texts to old flames and me trying to update my Instagram
not even
profile
a flame.
Picture.
Barely a flicker, honestly. So this will definitely be not relevant by the time this episode is posted. But for our listeners, if you happen to be a Watering Hole fan and Love is Blind fan, this is your crossover episode. Long story short, that's it. That's the whole story. I lived in Seattle for a year and a half, and while I was in Seattle, I went on one singular date with a man who ended up being on this past season of Love is Blind. And you might think, hey, Ashley, I was just like really into the story. He's joined us on the couch.
He's so big that his face hit me.
I know. All that comes on the couch, you barely notice him. Argos is another human. But yeah, so I went on one date with a man who is on Love is Blind this season, and I think the thing that's relevant is that it is my go-to bad date story. Yeah. So Love is Blind has always been my, like, you know, bad reality TV show.
Yeah.
Chill out, relax. And instead I had to relive that bad date.
Your own bad date, yeah.
What's up?
God, Argos, we did the whole last episode without him here, and now he has to join, and it's so uncomfortable.
It's because Ollie was around last time. They've switched off. They're taking turns.
Oh, my God. You're just...
My dog's much cooler.
You're too big.
A solid 33 degrees Celsius.
Cooler.
Now, Ollie's 33 degrees Fahrenheit, and your dog is 33 degrees Celsius.
That's about right.
Yep.
Frankly.
Oh,
Argos, we love you. He's so dirty right now. Like, you pet him and your hands are just, like, greasy.
I'm so glad I did not vacuum this couch. How are you? It's been so long.
I know. It's been a minute. So, I do want to quickly acknowledge all of the things that I have going on this week. I know we both have a lot going on, but...
This is your time to shine.
This is my moment.
Pause for a second because my dog is drinking very loudly. It's like he just discovered water. Are you done?
For being a small dog, you sure slurp loud.
Oh, do you feel left out?
Come on up.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on up.
Come on.
Odd doggies.
Let's go. Here we go.
Oh. My mom loved, there's like one episode where Ollie staring at you. And my mom was like, what was with Ollie? I was like, he just loves Maggie.
We have no idea.
We don't know.
We have our moments. We have our moments. Okay.
So, other than being covered with the dogs on the couch, what do you got going on?
No, this is my heaven. So, I, like, everything that could be happening is happening this week. I am looking for a new apartment / home. I am looking for a new job. I've had interviews. I've gone to see apartments. I had, like, a review with my current job in which I got a raise and a promotion. Great.
Woohoo!
I'm also in the running to join the board of a nonprofit.
Damn.
And this is truly, literally happening all this week. And so there's more. I don't even remember. And this all comes after, like, I went on a wonderful vacation, so I was so nice and refreshed, but now I'm back to being stressed.
At least you had a nice little break, little debrief.
It was wonderful.
Know?
It was really, really a great trip. But so the great thing about being so busy, and then having to do research for this episode.
Is that you did a really quality in-depth research?
So listen to this. I just...
You don't even have your laptop on right now, so I feel like you're just going to go off the top of your head. Am I right?
So on my drive here, I called, lo and behold, Adam.
Adam, thank God.
And I said, what can you tell me about this animal?
Here it is. Okay, I have to say, here you arrived and I was like, I was pretty set up. I still had to I was charging batteries and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, wow, Maggie's here and she's not doing research. Mm-hmm, look at how much she's got her shit together.
Yeah.
I was wrong.
So here's the thing, though. I get into the car.
Don't have your laptop open.
Well, I will say all of my notes are on my cell phone and your dog is sitting on my cell phone right now.
Oh, Ollie.
So.
You're disrupting the episode. Please.
I love you, too. I call Adam and I was like, what can you tell me about this animal or this animal? And he's like, I don't know. And I was like, do you think you could look it up for me?
Also, Maggie was late. I think that's also important. Maggie was supposed to be at 7. At 7:01, I get a text. It's like, shit, I lost track of time.
And so, your hint.
From Adam.
No, it's this hint I can't.
This is not from
me. I already knew the hint before I got the research done.
No.
It's similar. So if you remember last episode, my hint was just not that great.
Shit.
It was something about Barbie eating a cereal or something. This is similar.
Great. This is a Bratz doll making bread.
You're so close.
Oh, God. Paw in my pocket. American Girl doll.
If the Loch Ness Monster was a salad.
Fuck off. What are these clues?
If the Loch Ness Monster.
Nelly?
What is the Loch? What is Nelly?
A dinosaur?
Close.
A lake monster? A sea monster?
A sea what? A sea...
Sea salad. Sea monster. Monster salad. Monster lettuce. Monster arugula.
So also, here's another hint. You and I were just
talking... Oh, a better hint? Does one exist? Are you sure?
So you and I, before we started recording, we talked about doing a crossover episode with one of our friends who has a great podcast. It's called Root Bound.
Mm-hmm.
It's a podcast about plants when you can't get outside. And he wants to do an episode where we talk about animals that might look like plants.
Mm-hmm.
Or plants that might look like animals.
Yeah.
So here's an animal that looks like a plant.
Oh, so you're ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to tell me you're more prepared.
Uh-huh. And,
It doesn't help me.
So it's,
Something.
So.
Nelly, sea monster.
Sea something. Sea is in the name. And it's something that's salad-y.
Sea Caesar.
What's, no.
Sea Southwest.
No, what's, no.
Sea.
Put C in the middle of the name. What?
In the middle?
Uh-huh.
Let's see us.
I bet our audience is just like, can you just tell us what the fucking animal is? But this is so much fun for us.
This is half the episode now is just us guessing.
Because it's
so
fun.
And then it's like, here's four facts.
Yeah. It's fine.
That's the new format.
So, what is a salad full of?
Lettuce.
What salads
are you eating?
They're full of lettuce, but what's another word for lettuce? What are those green things?
Greens. Leaves?
Yes!
Sea leaf. A sea leaf dragon.
Yes! A leafy sea dragon. That's...
No, I like sea leaf dragon. And I will not refer to it as anything else.
Anything else. So I did, / Adam did...
Thanks, Adam.
The leafy sea dragon. So
truly a superstar on this podcast.
always is. I don't think he even listens anymore.
He's like, I'm fucking over it. She doesn't do any research.
He's like,
now he has to. So we named this episode Thanks Adam Again. Ooh.
This one's for you. Okay, so if you guys aren't familiar, this is a small animal that lives in the ocean. And it kind of looks like a very long
piece of seaweed.
A long piece of seaweed / seahorse.
Yes.
It is in the same family as seahorses and
pipefish.
Pipefish! Of course.
Fuck yeah. So, can I tell you a quick story about pipefish? The story is that in fourth grade, we had some assignment that had to do, I don't know, I made a tiny alphabet flip book of sea animals, mm-hmm. and my Z was zebra pipefish, and I drew a picture of it.
That's very cool.
And it was on like a little, I don't think I did all of the letters, but it was on a little ring, and they were like index card size, like fact sheets.
So if you don't know what a pipefish is, truly, imagine a long...
It is what is described. It is a pipe-shaped fish.
That's it. So these guys are in the same family.
Uh-huh. I also want to say I'm very excited about this.
I was very excited about this. Like, tell me more.
When Adam was telling you about this, you were like, this is what I want to hear.
I was like, what else can you tell me about this?
Come on.
So they're really not found... I thought they were more cosmopolitan than this, but they are found in southern and western Australia waters. That's it.
Australia?
God damn it! I'm back in Australia!
That's where Maggie likes to live.
It's completely unintentional. So they're found western and southern Australia, ocean waters.
Gotcha.
And even more so to that, they're like rocky coral reefs.
Okay.
They live amongst seagrass as well. They're very tiny. They're only about 8 inches long. So, I mean, really, that's the length between a pinky and a thumb of a grown man.
I'm a grown woman. I can do it. I can do it.
Stretch further. I mean, you definitely have to have bigger hands than I do.
Okay, well, I don't like that.
Well, you're taller. I don't know. I just assume everything is longer.
Whatever. Continue.
So why are they called a leafy sea dragon? Because they have leaf-like protrusions that are really just bits of skin that come off of their body part as camouflage so that they look like pieces of seaweed floating and they're not considered prey.
Yes. I don't like the phrase bits of skin.
I know. I didn't like 2-3 episodes ago when you were like, yeah, these... worm like
eat
the skin of their mother.
So we all have to live with things we don't love.
This is not bad. But these leaf like protrusions don't serve as any method of propelling them through the water.
Gotcha.
They actually swim via a dorsal fin on their back and a pectoral fin on their neck.
Oh. Ollie thought that was ridiculous.
Ollie couldn't believe it.
Smally Ollie.
So I said they live on rocky reefs and grassy.
So are they? Like, they're not. I'm guessing they're slow. They're not fast movers.
No. Especially considering how small they are.
But like, okay.
So similar to seahorses, you can envision like that kind of long snout.
Mm-hmm.
They have also a long snout that is what they use to suck up their prey. They don't, they kind of like snoot through the gravel and sand seabed.
These two doggies.
Like our dogs. They get tiny arthropods and small, super tiny crustaceans. They're not exactly pulling food out of the water column.
Gotcha.
Around. Yes. So I kept asking Adam, I'm really interested in their mating. What can you tell me about their mating? Also similar to seahorses, the males are responsible for fertilizing. Well, males are always responsible for fertilizing the eggs, but not rearing, but incubating.
Gotcha.
So the females will lay eggs on a brood patch.
Okay.
Which, if you're not familiar with a brood patch, what?
I only know brood patches in reference to birds.
Birds, yes.
Oh!
Great question. I'm so glad you asked. So let's use the emperor penguin as an example.
Please.
So a lot of us are familiar with how male emperor penguins will incubate the egg while the female goes to, or not, they incubate both the egg and the chick, right?
Sure. Yeah, I think so. And the female's going off to go get food.
Because like she did all the business of laying the egg.
She made it.
Right.
She built it.
regardless, it doesn't matter, egg or chick, the males have this brood patch, and it's a piece, it's a part of bare skin without feathers that's just direct skin contact that keeps the chick warmer.
Yeah.
Without feathers. It sounds really gross.
You're doing great. I just remember in penguins and in animals, the having a baby next to your skin is going to be warmer than if you have a layer of feathers or layer of fur in between. It's that skin-to-skin contact.
That part I think you should keep in.
Yes. Continue.
So similar to how a lot of birds have this brood patch that keeps the egg and or the young, the chick, warm, the leafy sea dragon male has this on the underside of his tail.
What?
If I didn't do a good enough job describing like this long piece of seaweed, it's just like imagine a squiggly line in the ocean with a bunch of leaves coming off of it. That's it.
Please.
But so on the underside of his tail, that's where this brood patch is. The female will lay about 150 to 200, maybe 300 eggs. We're not totally sure.
Who knows?
She will lay those and he will then fertilize them, in which they then incubate for 4 to 6 weeks. And when they're born, they're completely independent.
Well, however, just tiny?
They're 20 millimeters in length, in size. I know. And then within 1 year, they become the full 8 inches adult size, but they're able to breed at 2 years old.
Okay. Can I ask you a question that you probably don't know the answer to?
Yep, let's go for it.
What percentage of young, like, make it to adulthood?
I'm going to say 1/3.
It's probably a very small amount.
It's, yeah,
it's probably... It's the spray and pray kind of thing where they're like, I'm going to... Make
as many as I can.
Because they're all very small, and hopefully a couple of them make it to
because
adulthood.
Because 10 might make it. Yeah. It's not a big amount. So in general, they live 7 to 10 years, and we have those estimates because leafy sea dragons are very popular in aquariums. Fish tanks and aquariums. So
is that wild or captive?
That's captive.
Okay.
So they probably don't live that long in the wild.
But could live without predators.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of
still feels like a long time for like a small fish.
I know. Speaking of predators and threats, they're losing their seagrass habitat due to runoff pollution from like fertilizer and stuff. As I said, they live in rocky coral reef, so it's very close to the shallows. And similar to like what we have here in the U.S. and Florida especially, runoff pollution from fertilizer is just kind of contaminating the coastlines.
Yeah.
They're also at risk of climate change, right? Increasing sea temperatures make it's dying out coral reefs and, oh my God, I can't. And collection for pet trade. Lastly,
the oceans get hotter, coral reefs die, and these guys live in coral reefs. Also, they are collected for the pet trade. Yeah? Nailed it.
Those are sentences.
I'm here to help.
Those are sentences I couldn't come to on my own tonight. Last fun fact, they were discovered in the 1860s.
Feels like a long time ago.
Yeah. It was a long time ago.
It was.
So there you have it, leafy sea dragons. Go ahead and Google them. They're really pretty.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, Adam.
Fantastic. I'm just like looking. I didn't even finish that word. Fantastic. I'm looking at the pictures of them now. I'm like, I mean, I've seen them before, but they are just what? Like,
they're very cool looking. That's
very
what I like
cool,
about them.
Yeah. But like just how evolution really like saw them and was like, let's go for it.
I know. That's right? With a lot of animals we've been doing lately. I just also appreciate...
Definitely the theme. Oh, common question. Why did you pick this animal?
This was, once again, in my Google Doc of potential animals, and I don't know how it got there.
Just no idea.
Nope, just appears.
We love a surprise.
I really do. Also, if ever there was a good friend, it's Adam.
For real. I'm glad I met him briefly for like 5 minutes once.
Oh my God.
Fantastic.
All right.
All right. Are you ready for this?
I think so.
I feel like I do a lot of information, but I can move quick.
Okay.
I'm rushing through mainly so that the microphones don't die, not for our audience's sake.
Okay.
But we are trying to keep these shorter. Anyway, all right, this is my clue.
Okay, only one?
Just one.
Oh, fuck.
I don't have it written down, but I think it'll work.
Oh.
This is what, if we lived in South America, this is what we would have thought was in my ceiling 3 weeks ago.
God, it could be anything. A kawadi?
Yeah, baby!
All right!
We're cruising! Mm. Yes, I am doing a kawadi.
What a cool animal!
Right?
Oh, and I've seen these in the wild.
And I was like, I should do raccoons because like that's what we were, what we thought was in my ceiling and what's not. But I was like, there'd be like too much. Like, let's get a little more. Let's get a little fancy with it.
Let's go South American with this.
But they are relatives of raccoons, as we will find out.
Uh-huh.
So kawadis or kawadamundis, which we'll get into what the difference is, are members of the Procyonidae family, which is where you'll also find raccoons. You'll find ringtails. You'll find...
Ringtail what?
Just ringtails.
Oh.
They're just called ringtails.
I know.
So these like kind of like, they're all part of the order Carnivora. Basically raccoon-like things. Because I can't think of any other ones and I didn't write them down. But like that raccoonish. Are you just dropping pretzels everywhere?
Onto my microphone.
Am I just going to have to mute your mic this whole time as you're crunching down? Mm-hmm. Perfect. So these are diurnal, meaning daytime, mammals. So that's something that definitely differentiates them from their raccoon brethren, is that they're mostly active during the day. They're native to South America, Central America, Mexico, and the southwestern United States.
Mm-hmm.
And they primarily live in upland forest habitat. So they love trees. So the name kawadamundi comes from the Tupian language of Brazil, which Tupi was from your last episode, right?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Which means, okay, so it means lone kawadi. So I never found what kawadi means specifically.
Okay.
But I'll get to why lone kawadi, like why kawadi is more accurate than kawadamundi.
Let's hear it. Let's go.
Okay, well, I'll skip ahead then. So basically, their social structure, it's primarily females and young will live in groups of like 20 to 30 individuals, and males are relatively solitary. And when scientists first discovered them, they thought that the males were a separate species, and they called them kawadamundis, the lone kawadis.
Interesting.
But then they're like, oh, you're just the males of this species. So really,
how dumb humans are.
Right? I was like, I read that and I was like, no one thought maybe, no, what? No one? Okay. But yeah, so kawadi is actually more accurate than a kawadamundi. They're the same thing, but kawadi is more accurate.
Oh my God.
Also locally in Belize, the kawadis are known as quash.
I love it.
Call them a quash. So there are four species of kawadis.
Oh.
Two in the Nasua genus and two in the Nasuella genus. So we have the white-nosed kawadi, the South American kawadi, the Eastern Mountain kawadi, and the Western Mountain kawadi. So I'm going to be talking about them generally.
Okay.
But the one I think we most see are the white-nosed kawadis.
Oh,
okay. So what do they look like? Everyone's wondering. So take a raccoon. I feel like most people know what a raccoon looks
Absolutely.
Like. Right?
A trash panda.
Take a raccoon, stretch out its face, especially by its, like, grab it by its nose and just pull it. Do the same thing with its tail. Pull out its tail. And then a little bit with its legs. And then dip those legs in some, like, mud or dirt. And then you have a kawadi.
Absolutely.
Right? So they're, like, various shades of brown. They have some banding on their tail. They're very cute.
They are. They are cute. I mean, I think raccoons are cute.
I think raccoons are cute, too. But kawadis are very cute. Mm-hmm. They've got like a very
The snoot is super cute.
When they're
cute.
Snooting around, you like see their nose moving. Like that's my favorite thing. Like when Ollie's sniffing, I can just see his nose moving. And I'm just like, So very Ollie-like in that.
This salmon jerky is really greasy. I hope this doesn't show up on the camera.
It's just pure shine. It's all that's reflecting. It's getting all of the light. Okay, so their tail is semi-prehensile, which I feel like we've talked about Prince Hotels in past episodes.
I don't know what animal, but I think we have.
Right? Basically, they can use their tails to, like, grab onto things. Semi-prehensile is means, like, they can kind of grab things, but not as, like, it's not just, like, another hand.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really used to help maintain balance when they're climbing in trees. And then when they're on the ground.
Stand your ground.
Their tails stand up pretty straight up, and it's thought that that's a way that they can identify and find each other in vegetation. But one of the reasons that these guys were on my list is, have you ever seen video? Someone took a video of, like, a bunch of coatis crossing the roads.
And it looks like a bunch of T-Rexes.
Yeah, a brontosaurus. And yeah, you play it backwards. You play it backwards, it looks like brontosaurus crossing the road. But that's, so if you've seen that video, that's what these guys are. But yeah, their tails, like, stick straight up with, like, a little bit, like, the tip just, like, droops over a little bit. And it literally, like, if you just, like, looked at it really quick, or, like, with, like, your eyes a little bit crossed, it would look like brontosaurus.
There's a bunch of brontosauruses
crossing the road, which is absolutely fantastic. I'm so glad that you have seen that. Where are you going?
I have to wash my hands.
Oh, my God. Okay, it's, well, from so a distance, greasy. I'm going to tell you. They also have double jointed ankles.
Wow.
Which can rotate 180 degrees and allows them to climb down trees head first.
Burp.
Yep. Are you done? Oh, she's grabbing more food. But yeah, so they spend a lot of time in trees. Size wise, in case you were wondering, they're raccoon size, which is, like, pretty much the size of a house cat.
Mm-hmm.
They're very important in the food chain, mainly because they sit kind of right in the middle.
Mm.
So they eat insects, invertebrates, plant matter like fruit, nuts, roots, and leaves.
So they're omnivores.
Vertebrates, yep. They'll eat it. They eat it all, baby. Often snooting around in the forest floor like we discussed. But they are also eaten by jaguars, ocelots, jaguarundis, foxes, boas, birds of prey, and even humans.
Oh.
So they're, like, right smack dab in the middle of the food chain.
Wow.
So very critical.
Mm-hmm.
Now their social structure, like I mentioned, females and their young form bands of 20 individuals. So a group of coatis is called a band.
So once it's 21, they're like, get the fuck out?
I guess one other thing said up to 30. So
once it gets to 31, they're just like, absolutely
get the fuck
not.
Out. Exactly. But males remain relatively solitary. And like I had mentioned, that's kind of where the coatimundi distinction comes from.
That's interesting. I never knew that because I've always heard coatimundi
right?
and coatis. And I was like, I guess they're just a little bit different in some way. But
yeah.
No.
I feel like usually you think of, like, the long one and then they, like, the short one is like, oh, the, like, nickname. But coatis is actually a little bit more accurate.
Oh. We got a little cat cow going.
Oh yeah, he's a good stretcher. I've tried to make it, like, when I'm remote working because I need to stretch more. It's like whenever Ollie stretches, I need to stretch.
You just gleeked.
I did. All over my computer. That's one of my favorite clips. Anyway, so females spend a lot of their time looking after the young and socializing. There seems to be kind of a hierarchy within, I mean, if you have a group of 20 individuals, there's coatis or otherwise.
I'm genuinely envisioning, like, a Desperate Housewives
Desperate Housewives of Coatimundis. Desperate Coatimundis. I gotta check the cameras. Desperate Coatimundis of South America.
Right?
I'd watch it.
It's like Meerkat really Manor.
Oh my God. I've never actually watched it.
That was one of Chris Jameson's favorite shows.
I know. He's never been on that podcast. Yeah, but so they spend a lot of time in these groups.
Socializing.
There seems to be a hierarchy, and it appears that grooming helps establish these bonds. So they do a lot of grooming of each other. What happened to your shirt?
I have no idea.
For those of you listening, Maggie pulled out a very long string out of her sweater.
I can pull a string out of my shirt.
Wow, you a magician?
Yep.
Okay, but are you ready for this information?
It's got to be about sex.
Sex differences.
Oh.
So scientists did a study comparing the brain sizes of males and females in raccoons, kinkajous, and coatis. So
kinkajous is probably the other animal that we did, because I think, didn't Jill do a... No, she no, did a...
she did,
Binturong.
Yep. Okay. But kinkajous are another member of this Pyrocean family.
Prehensile tail. Yeah. Semi-prehensile tail.
Procyonidae, which means, like, pre-dog, I'm pretty sure. Something like that. Anyway. Anyway, so they did a study of these different species. Mm-hmm. And the only species that showed... Okay. The only sex difference in neural brain tissue was in coatis. Mm-hmm. So looking at the raccoons and the kinkajous, there's no difference between sexes in the brain tissue. But in coatis, there was. Females possessed a larger frontal cortical volume than their male counterparts due to their expanded lifelong social ties. So basically, that part of the brain in coatis was much, much larger because they're spending their lives making these social bonds and interacting with females.
Absolutely.
And I just, like, that's just, like... so fucking cool.
This makes so much sense because they're spending time around other females and they're just like, oh my God, did you hear what fucking Bill did?
Right? And it makes your brain, gossip makes your brain bigger. And I think that's something that we can all take away from this episode.
Oh my God. I think you're right though. It just, it's hilarious.
They're but so isn't that stupid. Wild? Like the fact that their brain is more developed in this, oh, I have an email.
At this hour?
What? Get out of here. It's probably like, you need to... But isn't that wild? I just love the idea, the fact that, like, being more social develops a certain part of your brain and, like,
honestly, don't have that. Listening back to a lot of our episodes when we're editing, it really dawns on me that the fact that I work from home and I don't interact with any other humans throughout the day...
problematic.
...is really stunting my brain development because...
well, it's like
our brain activity, yeah. Right? I can't think of words.
No. I go into the office 2 days a week, and as much as I hate commuting, I hate leaving my dog, I hate having to pack a lunch, I love being in the office. I love talking to people and, like, walking around.
Oh, my gosh. I am stupid.
Yeah. I'm very pro remote work, but
I'm very hybrid work. I mean, wish I had that.
Honestly, I wish everyone could just come to my apartment. That'd be so much easier. The only other thing I had on their social structure, because I skipped it, is that they have a broad range of communicating, including chirping, grunting, snorting, all the nice, you know, kind of bits. In terms of threats, like I mentioned, there were four species of coatis. Both species of mountain coatis are in decline.
Once again, we're going past tense with the conservation issues.
And the eastern mountain coati specifically is endangered. The mountain coatis mainly face threats related to, they live in the Andean Mountains, so any kind of biodiversity loss, deforestation, expansion of agriculture, vehicle strikes, hunting, all of those things are contributing to that.
Vehicle strikes make me so sad about wildlife.
When I was learning to drive, like within the first month, like with my driver's learner's permit, I watched a truck hit a squirrel in front of me, and I was like, I will never drive again. My mom was like, shit, this squirrel is never going to be independent.
That's it, though? A squirrel?
It was a squirrel. The truck in front of me hit a squirrel. And I witnessed it.
My mom ran over a bunny.
No!
With me and my sister in the car. And to this day, the three of us, my sister and I especially, like, remember exactly what it looked like.
Oh, God. Have I ever told you the time that the cedar waxwing flew into my car?
Yes.
I had long had my license by that point.
Right.
But a bird flying into your window and getting stuck under your windshield wiper.
It's so sad.
Really makes you reconsider things.
So the only thing I've ever hit is a frog. Thankfully. And it jumped so right bad. Into the car.
It's never good. Like, it's never a fun time.
Oh, it feels awful.
You just feel awful.
Fucking cars. Fucking people.
Anyway. And then in some areas, these coatis are considered pests due to their predation, occasional predation on chickens or damage to like potato crops or other crops. They're also hunted occasionally for their meat and fur, and they can be collected as pets. But half of them are doing like okay, kind of like all species that are fucked by humans. Yes. What's new? But those are coatis for you. Mm.
That is super cool. Thanks for doing them. Like, that's a good animal that I feel like some people may have heard of, a lot of people may not have, but they're very familiar, especially to American audiences.
Yes, absolutely. I feel like they're a very, like, solid mammal that, like, I feel like people should know about.
Yes, absolutely.
Know? Especially like, in the Americas.
Especially for American tourists that are going down to Central America. Yes. They're going to see them.
Right? I remember when I saw them in Belize, it was so exciting. I did not call them quash. I wish I had known.
Quash.
But just a reminder, though we are animal enthusiasts, we're not scientists, if that was not obvious. Do your own research. We just want to get you excited about animals like we are. Thanks for joining us on this episode. If you like our podcast, make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening and leave us a review. It'll help us reach more animal enthusiasts like you. Also, comment if you're watching the YouTube video. Comment down below. Let us know what's going on.
What you think.
Yeah. You can also find us on Instagram at The Watering Hole Pod, on YouTube at The Watering Hole Pod, and you can visit our website, thewateringholepod.com. Tune in next time when we learn about more animals, their biology and habitat, the threats they face, and what people are doing about it. Did you just touch your microphone?
Like 3 times in a row.
Fantastic.